You'd open your Bibles over to the book of John, chapter 10, with me, please. We're going to be talking tonight about Jesus and a few things historically and some things that really apply directly to the church and to the every member here. I've asked Brother Ken to lead us in a song, if you'll get your hymnal out, and he's going to lead us just before the lesson here in song 828. 828. And I'll have Brother Ken come up and lead us in that song.
Jesus the loving shepherd cometh thee now to come into the fold of safety.
So tonight I want to spend a little bit of time talking with you about the one, that one who came down from heaven while we were still yet in our sins. The one who died so that our sins could be washed away by his own blood. And it erased our sins from the minds of our Creator, from the mind of our Creator. And the one man who men had been waiting for centuries, anticipating his coming, the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament and came to be realized in the New Testament age. Jesus is the one. Jesus, your loving shepherd, our loving shepherd. He was foretold in the Old Testament. And there's just a couple of scriptures. You know, it would be wonderful in the scriptures when you look at Isaiah chapter 40 and, you know, verses 9 through 11, we read about something that Zion was given glad tidings. And they were told to get up into the high mountains of Jerusalem and to bring good tidings, to lift up your voice in strength, lift it up, be not afraid, the scripture says. Say to the cities of Judea, behold your God, behold the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall be the rule. And behold, his reward is with him. That's who we're talking about. They're talking about the coming of Messiah. And he's the one that the scripture says will feed his flock. And his rule will never depart from him. He will be that mighty shepherd that will gather his lambs together in his arms and carry them in his bosom, the scripture says. Wonderful prophecy. He will gently lead those who are young. With the young, he will lead them. Right? He would gather together Israel, God's chosen people at that time. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 10. Jeremiah 31 and 10. Again, hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Declare it in the isles afar off. And think about what it says. He who scattered Israel will gather him. He will be a shepherd that gathers his flock together. Wonderful ideas about that prophetic teaching from the Old Testament. And it tells us that he would be the one who feeds them, right? A type of David. A type of David. In other words, an ancestral lineage down the line, Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 23. Right? I will establish the shepherd over them, we're told, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And so David was that type of Jesus. He did what Jesus was yet to come to do. And when we think about that, he was the one that was revealed in the New Testament to be that very shepherd. That very mighty hand, that very one who would gather his sheep and hold them in his bosom. If we look at our scripture tonight, John chapter 10, and I just want to read through that. John chapter 10, we're reading just verses 1 through 16. We read, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke of them to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are the thieves and the robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, and he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd who has other shepherds watching the flock. The New Testament defines those shepherds, those elders who have the bishops, who have the responsibility of watching the flock. But Jesus is the chief shepherd, the scripture says there. 1 Peter 5:4. He's the chief shepherd who appears. And he's the one that we will receive the crown of glory that never fades away because of the work of Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd, and it was through his blood that we are complete. Hebrews 13:20-21 makes that very clear. He's the God of peace who brought the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, he brought that great shepherd, he's referred to, of the sheep, the blood of the everlasting covenant, and it makes us complete. You see that in verse 21, and that blood will make you complete in every good work to do his will. That's who we're talking about tonight, and that's who our Savior is. And the idea of having Jesus as our shepherd is very revealing when you think about it. It pictures the blessings that can't be numbered, those that can be enjoyed by every one of us, every one of us. And when you think through that, it should remind us that of the duties that we have as sheep. He's done so much for us, what can we do for him, right? And so we can glean from the scriptures about Jesus, our loving shepherd, and as that song we just sang. Certainly there are two great things. The idea here, when we think of the two great things, number one, he is the chief shepherd. We've just quoted that from 1 Peter 5:4. And as we look at that, he is the great shepherd. Through his blood, he makes us complete. And so we think about the idea here, Jesus being a shepherd, being revealed to us in the New Testament. And so what are these two great blessings from Jesus, our shepherd? One, he gave his life for us. That's what he did. He laid down his life for the ungodly, for the sinners. That was foretold in the Old Testament too, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. Think about what's written there. Oh, awake, O sword. Think of the sword against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion. And the shepherd and the man are capitalized there. They're talking about Jesus. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And then I will turn my hand against the little ones. That's what is prophesied about our Savior. A great blessing because it was foretold that he would be stricken. And we read about that in Isaiah 53 often on Sunday morning when we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, he reiterates all that. He said that you will all be made to stumble because of me, because of this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So it all happened according to prophecy. The most powerful reason just to simply accept and believe the word of God for what it is. And we also think about this. Jesus told his disciples he would be the great I am, the good shepherd, right? John chapter 10 and verse 11 that we read, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 15. He says, again, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what Jesus is. And so he's able to offer eternal life to us, his sheep. And he's able to do that because of his gift to us. John chapter 10 and verse 28, we didn't read that, but it says, and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13, we read about what John's telling us, right? This is the testimony that God has given us of eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where eternal life is. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have, or God does not have life. And so he says, these things I've written to you so that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. All these things were written down so that we would know our good shepherd, that we would know he is there for us. We who believe in the name of the Son of God, that we may have that eternal life, that we may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So he's offering us security. This great shepherd that we have, he's offering us security that can come from no other place to be able to continue to believe, to continue to grow in faith, to continue to grow in our trust of God. And that way, no one, as the scripture says, can snatch them, snatch us, snatch you from the hand of God. Can't be done. But we have to be humble. We have to be humble and we have to be aware of the warnings, right? We can fall. Let no one confuse you. We can fall. We can depart from the living God. We can depart from his hand. We read that in Hebrews chapter 3 in verses 12 and 13. And how powerful this warning is. Beware, brethren, lest there be any in you any evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we can walk away, and we've certainly seen many people do that. It's just a warning. It's a warning to us not to be haughty, not to think too much of ourselves, as Paul said, lest we fall. Because it's easy to fall. Our hearts can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And we can become partakers of sin if we're not holding fast to Christ. Christ is our confidence. That's where we hold fast to. That's where we're steadfast till the end. So while it is called today, we hear His voice, we do not harden our hearts. That's what the shepherd has made possible for us. And we all know Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. We just studied that a few times over, and that's where Jesus, you know, don't be afraid of these things that you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil's about to throw many of you into prison that you may be tested. And he says you will be troubled for 10 days, tribulation. But then he said, be faithful until death, and you receive the crown of life. So our responsibility is to be faithful to Christ, to accept what the shepherd has taught us, and that'll keep us from falling. And there is great news in all this. The great news is that Jesus cares for you. He cares for you, right? And he, in doing that, he's called us to him through the gospel. John chapter 10, we read in verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14, very similar. We give thanks to God always, the beloved brethren of the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose us, you, for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. That's what God did for us. He called us by His gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, of salvation. Our shepherd has made all that possible. And not only that, but He brought us together in a way that no one else could. He brought us together, having gathered us into one fold. He made the two one, right? Gathered us together. John chapter 10 and verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. He simplified things. So we don't have to be concerned about whether or not God accepts us. There's no respect of person with God. Think about 3 points that Paul makes, right? Jesus brought us near by His blood. That's what He did. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at what it says there in verse 11. He tells us that you were once Gentiles in the flesh. We're called the uncircumcision. And think about what he says there in verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant promise. We weren't like Israel. We didn't have those commandments. We didn't have the law of the prophets, the law of Moses. We were without hope, without God in the world. Strangers. And yet, even though we were once afar off, he says there at the end of that text in verse 13, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The good shepherd made that possible. Also, Jesus is our peace. You look at verse 14, it says it right there in the beginning, for He Himself is our peace. And He had made both one. He broke down the middle wall of separation. That's how you bring peace. Abolished in the flesh the enmity, that with the law, the commandments, the ordinances, all that. He created one new man from the two, making peace. And so He reconciled us together by His blood, by His message. And He came and He preached to all who were afar off. You know, think about that, how significant that is. You know, Jesus lived around 33 AD. He was only preaching for about 3 years. And that message was preached 2,000 plus years ago. How far off did that message go? That message came all the way to me, came all the way to you within this assembly tonight. And when we think about that also, thirdly, Jesus is our cornerstone. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, He is our cornerstone. We're no longer strangers, no longer foreigners. We're fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, all because of our shepherd, all because of what Jesus did out of great, great love for each and every one of us. Right? What we have is something that was built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ being the head cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, I think it says. And so just think of all those wonderful things, those points that Paul brings out about Jesus, the great shepherd. We also are built together in a dwelling place of God in the Spirit because of this. Jesus is the good shepherd, and because of that, Jesus knows you. You understand this. He knows you personally. He knows you in a way that no one else could possibly know you. In verse 14 of chapter 10 of John, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep and am known by my own. He knows us. At verse 27 of John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 19, nevertheless, that solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Not only does He know us, but He feeds us. Primarily, we're talking about being fed spiritually. We know that God provides for us when we seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, that these things will be added. That's food, clothing, and shelter. Yes, physically we're fed. We know what He did with the 5,000 when He fed them with just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. But the physical is just a small part. Jesus feeds us. I am the door. If anyone follows me, he will be saved, and I will go in and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 9 of John 10. In and out. And find pasture. You know, Psalm 23, 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And He restores my soul. You know, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Pastures, we're talking about this great shepherd, and we're the sheep, and the green pasture is the feeding. And of course, we're talking about spiritual feeding. But He does that. He'll feed us. And then you think of John chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4 and how Jesus guides us. He's the doorkeepers. You know, the sheep hear His voice. He calls His own sheep by name. He knows every one of our names, inside and out. That's our great shepherd, Jesus. So He calls us by name. And He brings us in and out. He goes before us. And we follow Him. Because we know His voice. And so we're following the shepherd. In Psalm chapter 23, verse 3, and I already started quoting, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's our shepherd. Just little things here that just describe Jesus and His greatness. And we think that Jesus cherishes you. Think about the love of God. He cherishes you. He came down from the glories of heaven. He didn't have to do that. But he loves his creation, and he set up this plan before the foundation of the world that there would be a church, and in that church would be the saints, those saints who are followers of Jesus Christ, his sheep. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He will feed his flock as a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arm and he carries them in his bosom and gently leads them. Wow. That's what was prophesied. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 29, Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we start off hearing those words, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That's who we are. Those of us that have been baptized into Christ are his church. And he has sanctified us. He has cleansed us with the washing of the water by the word. That's what Jesus did, that he might present her, us, the glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Wow, that is our Savior. That's our shepherd. And so he is our loving shepherd. He does care for us, and he has called us, he's gathered us, and he is the good shepherd, and he cherishes us very tenderly in that process. He protects us and preserves us, right? Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, declare it in the isles afar off and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him. He will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Prophecy. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. Again, what do we read? John 10, 28, 29. Oh, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. What does Jude say about this? Jude, verse 24 and verse 25. What does Jude say, verse 24 and 25? Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, in the glory and the majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. That's what he's telling us all about him. Him, Jesus, who's able to keep us from stumbling, who's able to present us faultless before God because of his blood sacrifice. Wonderful blessings. Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's our God. That's our shepherd. So what does he expect of us? It's pretty simple. Heed the voice and the words of Jesus. Verse 2 and 3 again of chapter 10. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Listen to Jesus, period, end, right? We hear his voice. We follow his voice, right? And he expects us as sheep to heed what he teaches. In Luke 6:46, something that we've probably heard a million times, Jesus, who says, but why? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Right? The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, go out into all the world, make disciples of men, right? And teach them to do whatever I commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father. All those commands of what we call the Great Commission all starts off with the words that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. And so we do and observe all the things that He commanded, which we do today. How do we do that today? What is that? Well, we listen to the apostles' writing, John chapter 13, and verse 20. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives, whoever I send receives me. That's what Jesus said. That's what Paul teaches. And so the early church continued steadfastly, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine, right? The fellowship, the breaking of bread. We do that. And they taught the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:37, the apostle Paul makes it really clear that whatever is written to anyone, if you think you're spiritual or a prophet, Paul says, let him acknowledge that the words that I, Paul, write are the commandments of the Lord. And that's how we keep ourselves safe. We keep ourselves safe by not listening to peripheral teaching, by examining everything that's taught against God's Word comparatively, and holding fast to the Word of God and letting go of everything else. The question that we have to ask ourselves tonight, are we following the shepherd? Are we heeding His voice? Are we holding fast together as His flock? You know, there's only one body, one flock. We've studied this, Ephesians 4 and 4, right? There's one body, one spirit, and that's what we were called into, one hope of our calling. There are other sheep, Jesus said, not of this fold, and He had to bring them in. So we're all part of the other sheep that were brought in. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. Everyone that's in Christ is Christian. Is His. And we should strive to maintain the unity. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father. Right? And they don't want to hear what He has to say. And He says the words of the one, they called Him a demon in that text. And He came and He opened the eyes of the blind. And so Jesus walks among them and they didn't want to hear what He had to teach. They are the ones that we don't listen to, those who do not follow the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles. And that's why Jesus died. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, right? Those of us who were afar off, who were brought near by the blood of Christ. And He Himself is our peace. And He's the one that made what used to be enemies now companions in the Lord. And so two simple rules. Don't listen to the voice of strangers. Don't listen to the voice of all the false teachers out there. Don't get caught up in listening to radio sermons and television sermons and the millions of books that are written by men. Just be careful. The main study is in God's Word. If you know His Word, you won't be led astray by the false teachers. You won't be led astray by the voice of strangers if you know His Word. And if we do that, right, you remember what Jesus said, everyone who came before Him, robbers and thieves. And He says, the sheep did not hear them. Not going to listen. 2 John verse 9 and 10, right? Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have Christ. But whoever abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Both. Right? And He says if anyone comes and does not bring this doctrine, don't receive him into your house. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So that's what Jesus wants us to do. Maintain unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So are we doing that? I pray we are. Are we making that our goal, is to hold on to the teaching of God through His Word so that we know our shepherd and our shepherd knows us, that we hear His voice and He hears us. Wonderful promises. Wonderful, wonderful promises. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, Revelation, chapter 7, verse 13 and following, something that we can all heed. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them, and they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat." Verse 17, "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Yes, Jesus warns us. He shows us the way. We just need to follow that way. Don't believe because of something in us. Believe because of something that came from him. He is the shepherd, and we must hear and believe in that great shepherd. I hope that's an encouragement. Certainly we've all have a knowledge of the shepherd. Not all of us have obeyed the gospel, but the bottom line is he came so that we could have life and life better than any other possibility on this earth. He came so that our sins could be taken away, and that we could walk in righteousness, that we could be saved, that we would be restored to our Creator who loves us and wants us to be with him in that place where he will wipe away every tear. There's a lot of tears being shed in this world. No, not necessary for us. Not necessary. We have a shepherd, a loving shepherd, who wants nothing but the best for us. So if you have a need this night, whether it's to be baptized or repent, to ask for help, whatever that need is, we have a song of invitation, song number 844, that Brother Ken is going to lead us in that. Only, it's only a step. Only a step.